Good morning, brothers and sisters. It's good to be with you once again. And Brother Peter and I bring with us the fraternal greetings of your brothers and sisters in Hastings. Well, we've read this morning of our probation as a race for life. And before each one of us is set the goal, the mark upon which we must fix our eyes as we run in this supremely important race. And that goal, that mark, of course, is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, around whose table we meet this morning. Let us look at the words beginning of chapter 12 of Hebrews, which we've read. And I'll read the NIV translation just to perhaps enhance our understanding. Since we are surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with patience the race that is marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Well, these verses contain lessons for us as we examine ourselves and prepare our minds this morning to remember our absent Lord. Since we are surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses, well, we might ask ourselves, who are the witnesses? Well, the witnesses are the heroes of faith who we have read of this morning in Hebrews chapter 11. These heroes of faith are called witnesses because their lives testify or witness to what faith can achieve. And we can imagine ourselves for a moment in a stadium, running the race of life, surrounded by a multitude of faithful ones in the stands, all who have finished their race, and put there to urge us on and to encourage us as we run the race. All the witnesses, in a literal sense, of course, are dead and buried. But we know their characters. We know how they lived. And we know what they achieved by faith. That is, of course, if we meditate upon the record that God has given us. If our Bibles are closed, they are not going to witness too much to us, are they? But in each of them, what we see is an active, energetic, living, and vigorous faith, which was seen in what they did. And as we read through Hebrews 11, we find that most of them manifested their faith in times of great difficulty. We might ask ourselves the question, was it easy for Abraham to leave his home in Ur and to go out not knowing where he was going? Was it easy for Noah to build a massive boat miles from the ocean while a corrupt generation mocked? Was it easy for Abraham to take his only begotten son and bind him on the altar in sacrifice? Was it easy for Moses to choose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy all that Egypt had to offer? Was it easy for David to maintain his godly disposition in the face of persecution by Saul? No, brothers and sisters, all these mighty heroes of faith are there in the stadium, and by their example, they are calling out to us. We have done it. You can do it. Strengthen your faith and you will successfully run the race. God will help you as he helped us. Have faith and you will overcome the obstacles that are strewn across the running track. But we have to do our part. As we read in verse 1 there of chapter 12, let us throw off everything that hinders. And sadly, at times we insist on running with loads that we do not have to bear, which will hinder us in successfully running the race. Let us, using the example of the Apostle Paul, picture in our minds an athlete competing in an important race. Would he not strip himself of all unnecessary clothing and everything that would impede his progress on the course? Imagine a runner in a loose flowing garment entangling him so that he fell. And then we, I think, can see the force of the illustration used here. And sometimes even good things in themselves must be laid aside to win. Any habit that would impair efficiency must be cut off. This is what we read in these words. A rigorous discipline of the body with avoidance of any excesses is vital. And it's not difficult to transfer these features from the physical to the spiritual. The Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, in verse 24 to 27, when he likens our probation to a race, know ye not that they which run in a race run all? So run that ye may obtain. And he says in verse 27, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. He knew who the enemy was and he attacked it. He wasn't as one that beat the air. He knew where the target was and he attacked it. This is what Jesus meant when he said, if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out. And in the race, a trainer will support the athlete in this and help them. And we can say with Paul, as we read in Hebrews 13, the Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. And he will help us as we strive to run the race and lay aside those things which hinder us. And so these witnesses are urging us to dedicate ourselves to our goal, to give it everything that we've got. And to seek help, which is so readily available to us. We are not running against each other, brothers and sisters. We are running together. Fellow heirs. And we hope to be fellow citizens of that glorious kingdom which God is to establish shortly on this earth. But we know we are not going to be successful spiritual athletes if we insist on running with unnecessary weights, the sin which so easily entangles. And there is one Greek word, apparently, for that sentence, a sin that so easily entangles. And the Greek word means skillfully surrounding. So therefore, we see we have a contrast here. In the stadium, there are witnesses to their faith who are calling us from their vantage point in time to encourage us. And as well, there are those who want to skillfully surround us and encourage us in the ways of the flesh. And we find those people all around us in the world. And the question is, brothers and sisters, whose voice do we hear? The voice of the Word or the voice of the world? In which race will we run? The straight and narrow way that leadeth to the kingdom, or the broad way that leads to destruction? There'll always be people on the sidelines who want to attract our attention and take it away from the Lord Jesus Christ. They will say, come and look over here, when our attention should be focused on the one around whose table we are this morning. We know what the proverb says, the man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. It is possible to wander away from that narrow and straight way. And so we are encouraged in verse 2 of Hebrews chapter 12. Run with perseverance the race. And the Greek word means steadfastness, constancy, endurance. A characteristic of a man who is unswerved from his deliberate purpose. He has a goal set before him, and he is unswerved. Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ set his face steadfastly to go to Jerusalem, knowing what lay ahead of him. He was unswerved in purpose. And that is the idea before us here, to run with perseverance. No matter what happens to us along the way, no matter how hard the conditions on the racetrack, no matter how great the pain in running, no matter how long the race, we have got to keep on running with our eyes fixed firmly on the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what these words before us this morning tell us. We have to run, as we see in verse 2, looking unto Jesus. Now that word looking is an interesting word. Apparently it means to look away from one thing and to see another. Bullinger says it means to turn the eyes away from other things and fix them on something. So we know that our eyes have got to be fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ and on his example. But in order to have our eyes fixed on him, we have to turn them away from all other things. That's what the word means. And that's what we have to do in this race for life. We need at this time to examine ourselves. Where have our eyes been in the last week? On the Lord or on other things? But more importantly, where are our eyes going to be in the coming week? Because we know we can't change what has happened in the last week. But we can do something about the coming week. We all have this problem. We all take our eyes off the Lord from time to time. If we are to be successful, we need to concentrate our minds upon spiritual things. This is how the Lord Jesus overcame. His meat was to do the will of him that sent him. He always delighted to do his Father's will. It takes time. It demands sacrifice. It requires dedication, and often it is not convenient. But who has ever heard of a successful athlete who wasn't prepared to dedicate himself, to push himself, to sacrifice, and to train for the goal? We read it this morning in the 12th chapter of Hebrews. When the apostle is speaking of chastening for our good unto them which are trained thereby and learn from it. Jesus looked to the joy set before him. We're told here. Do you think that the Lord Jesus Christ would have ever overcome if he concentrated on negatives? We likewise need to concentrate our minds on the blessings of the kingdom. Look beyond the problems of this day of mortality. A positive destroys a negative. Let us look at our Lord. He didn't concentrate on the negatives. He concentrated on the joy set before him. And that, of course, was the day when he will be king over all the earth. But there was a joy set before him even before that time. Every day he heard the word of his Father. He was in communication with his Father. We're told by the prophet Isaiah, morning after morning, he openeth mine ear. And yet, he had never seen his Father. Every day he heard from his Father, but he had never seen him. That was a great joy that was set before him when he ascended to his Father's right hand. Look what the Apostle John says of that joy. It's recorded in the first epistle of John. In the second epistle of John, in verse 12. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you shortly and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. So when Jesus saw his Father, the one whom he had heard every day, his joy was full. In looking forward to that time when he would meet his Father, was a great joy set before him. We are, in verse 3, called upon to consider him, to think about him, how he handled sinful men, how his mind was filled with the word of God, have you not read, was his answer to the many questions that they put to him, trying to trap him. Have ye not read? Well, brothers and sisters, he is at the finishing line, waiting for us. And the witnesses are urging us on, God having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. Isn't it a wonderful thought that Jesus is going to share that prize that he has gained and that he has won with a great multitude, all at the same time? Well, we hear the bell announcing the last lap. The winning post is in sight. Christ is at the door. You know what Jesus said, when these things begin to come to pass, then look up. Lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. As we see the events in the world around us today, brothers and sisters, these things have begun. They have begun. And therefore, we need to not be cast down like those around us in the world who are fearful of what is coming on the earth. But we need to look up and rejoice. For if we are faithful unto our Lord and Master, our redemption draweth nigh. And this morning, as we do every week, having come from the race this week, the call to remembrance, the example of the Lord Jesus, as we share these emblems together, let us refocus our eyes on the finish line, that we might see clearly the Lord Jesus sitting on his Father's throne, ready to share with us and the faithful of old the prize of the high calling of God.